Hello, internet. This is a very tired Weird Beard. I just got home from the NRA annual meeting in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I decided to just, instead of going to bed, which I should be doing, I decided to go and edit the podcast that we recorded on the Friday of the show, the first day of the NRA show. And normally we usually do this a week ahead of time, but Aaron really made a good suggestion that because of the breaking news that happens while we're recording the show, I decided to stay up late and get it up now. So this is being recorded just a few hours before you're hearing this, if you're hearing this when it first goes live, and hope you enjoy it. It's, again, we recorded it on the kitchen table at Aaron and I's Airbnb using the stereo mic from my recorder. So it's going to sound a little different. It's going to be a little echoey. There's going to be people tapping on the tables and stuff like that. So, and again, there's no structure to this show. We were just recording. I didn't know what format was going to happen. I didn't know. You'll see. There's a surprise here. When the big reveal happens that you probably read about in the news, it's a bit of a surprise to all of us. And we were just talking about what we thought extemporaneously. So this is more or less kind of a mag dump, but it's clean. And hope you enjoy it. It was a very exciting weekend at the NRA show. So thanks all for listening, and here it goes. Hello, internet. Welcome to another Assorted Calibers podcast. This is episode 50, and we sound a little bit different because we are live in Indianapolis, Indiana. And with me tonight, we have, of course, the lovely, the wonderful, and the big deal, Aaron Paulette.
Hello, everyone.
And, of course, we have, he's kind of a big deal, too. And the first time I've ever met him face-to-face, David.
Sorry for the disappointment. But I'm at the NRA annual meeting, so I didn't like to make that noise.
It was recorded.
And you're paid to be here, too.
That is right. Can I pump the business?
Yeah. Why don't we start off?
Phrasing chosen intentionally.
Yeah, baby. You pump that business. You pump it good.
I am here representing Asphalia Designs, which is a company that produces concealed carry handbags. And what's really special about them is twofold. One, the firearm access panel is not closed by zippers, but by patent-pending magnetic system. So it's very quick to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the bags also have a pouch or pocket for ballistic armor plate, either level 3 or level 3A, so that people can have both active and passive defense. So go to their Facebook page, go to their website, Asphalia Designs, Asphalia. Asphalia is Greek for safety.
Oh, I wondered about that.
And there'll be links in the show notes.
Thank you.
So what did you do today, Aaron? This is Friday. This is the first full day of the NRA convention.
Oh my God, it is the first day.
I know.
It doesn't feel like it.
Haven't we been here all week?
I almost said to the lady who gave me my my lunch, I almost said, you have a good weekend. And I realized it's still Friday.
So I actually got here a day early because, all right, well, I want to tell you what's going on. I don't want to sound like I'm a pretentious name dropper or maybe give too much information. But when I took over the Pink Pistols, I inherited a good working relationship that the Pistols had with the NRA's Institute for Legislative Action. And we've had a very profitable, fruitful,
there we go.
Relationship with the ILA. Some of you may have heard of Park versus DC, more properly known as Park and Pink Pistols versus DC. And we filed as Friends of the Court, I believe that's amicus curiae, in several of these cases. And I've been told that judges love to see a variety of names on the filings, either because it shows broad support or because the judge goes, oh, I gotta see how this turns out. And so The ILA loves to have the pink pistols on suits. It loves to have National African American Gun Owners Association or whatever, NAAGR, I think. And so because of this, I was invited to get there a day earlier. For people who don't know, it pretty much the week before the convention is a lot of politicking and committee meeting and pre-gaming. And so the stuff begins on Tuesday, and I was asked to be here. No, I arrived on Wednesday, and Thursday I was asked to sit in on the committee meeting for the Civil Rights Defense Fund. And I didn't do anything. I was just there to basically be pretty and listen and see how active the NRA was in civil rights. And I got to meet some interesting people. I know this is a whole long presentation of Weird's giving me his bored look.
No.
Okay.
I think that's his tired look.
Yeah, I am tired. Weird is morning person.
I got here an entire day early, and the meeting was kind of impenetrable to me because they're talking about cases that I don't know about. But I got to meet some really, really cool people, including one gentleman who I'm not going to name because he obviously doesn't want a big deal made out of this. But he's someone that I'd never heard of before, and he just shows up and he gives a check to the Civil Rights Defense Fund for $10,000. And I'm going, I got to know who this guy is. And so when they close the session and it goes to executive and those of us who aren't members leave, and it's like, I've got to beat it. I chase him down and I talk to him. And I'm basically going, who do you represent? Where do you come from? You know, how do you have this kind of money to give? And I'm thinking he represents some sort of corporation. No, it's his money. I don't know if he's
a private individual.
Yes.
Out of his own pocket.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. 10 grand out of his own pocket. And it's just, I want to shake your hand, sir. And of course, introduce you to Operation Blazing Sword. But mostly I want to get to meet you. And so we had a nice discussion. And so, I'm already thinking it's Saturday. What else have I done? Okay. So this is Friday. So I got to the convention hall, and I immediately went to the ladies' luncheon, which starts at about 9:30. And what was that noise for? Well, we yes, I know. Don't ask what time I got up. And they have all sorts of silent auctions. They had some really nice gear. David, I saw what I thought was a Tavor 9mm.
Yes, there.
Yeah, well, they had one for silent auction, and I didn't know they had that. So they had all sorts of things, and of course, you know, jewelry and clothes and whatever.
Yeah,
and
they had in my store, they had a Tavor 9mm that was priced higher than the Tavor in 5.56.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a quantity thing.
And so I went to the luncheon, courtesy of the National Shooting Sports Foundation. Thank you, Tisma Jewett. She invited me. And had a great time there. And Dean Cain was the speaker.
Ooh,
and he's a
cool guy.
He is a funny man. He threw some shade at various people and individuals and organizations. And so that was fun. And then I went back and I did some work on my blog. I don't know if we're going to touch on it in this episode or not, but there's some stuff coming to the NRA. There's definitely going to be a shakeup. The question is, how big of a shakeup? And I'm busy writing my predictions and doing some analysis because I want to be able to say, look, I predicted X. and then I did some walking around and I met the founder, the owner, the whatever of Asphalia Design. Really nice people. Had a great dinner at an Italian restaurant, and I'm going to fall asleep in a moment. So that was my day. Weird had a much less structured day, and although I did spend some time with him as he completely nerded out over revolvers.
Who can blame him?
It's 19th century technology.
There's a lot of eye rolls from Aaron.
But done well, it is beautiful technology. Mm-hmm. I was... our booth is not far from the restrooms, which is great because everyone's got to pee. They're going to, 50% chance they're going to walk past our booth on the way to the bathrooms. So anytime I had to go to the bathroom, I took a slightly different route. Now, the first time on the way back, I stopped by the Knife Rights booth because those guys are awesome. And since Oddball isn't here for this,
fudge!
New York. So I gave them some money. And as I came back, I passed the High Point booth and I glance over and I think I recognize a face. A face that I've actually only seen in pictures. So I wander over and I start peering to try to see the badge and he looks at me and says, I know you! Sure enough, it was our own beloved Weird. And I did not get back to the Asphalia booth for like 20, 30 minutes.
Well, we got super nerding out with the High Point guys because I was talking to them about their new updated High Point design. They're still in the early yes. prototype phase. It's a double stack with rails and very modern. It's set up to take
suppressor,
an optic.
Yep, extended the threaded barrel. Yep. And the High Point guy was standing there with the carbine barrel with 34 bullets lodged in it.
Yep,
the one. He had the actual barrel in his hands, and he's showing us.
I was telling about people putting abuse to the High Points, and he said, "Hold on a second." And he came
hold
over,
my beer, and watch
handed
this.
Me and handed me the barrel. It was just that was like 2 minutes before you showed up.
Yep,
and I was literally like, "Oh my God, somebody posted this on the Facebook group."
Yep, but I mean, for me, this is my first NRA annual meeting. It's something I've wanted to do since I learned there was an NRA annual meeting. And it is like Disneyland and the Star Trek experience in Vegas before they shut it down and a candy store all in one. It is just phenomenal. And of course, these are gun people. These are my people. They're special people. They're nice people. They can sing and dance often at the same time. Sorry, wrong show. For those who don't know, that's a quote from Spamalot. But you know, every booth I stopped at, people were chatting. I got to have a fangirl moment at the Smith & Wesson Collectors Association booth. I'm there looking at some of the old 19th century technology as I throw a little bit of shade at Aaron. Not too much, because... But these were actually 19th century revolvers. And I hear a voice behind me. And I'm like, I recognize that voice. Oh God, be an adult. Don't be an idiot. And I turn around and standing behind me is Ashley Hablinski of the Cody Firearms Museum. If you don't know who she is, go to the Cody Firearms Museum Facebook page and watch some of her videos. This woman is extremely knowledgeable and presents the information very well. And
kind of cute.
Oh, way beyond kind. I have a weakness for small petite women. And Ashley is, as she said, 5'0". And I one of the things when you're meeting someone like that, especially of the opposite sex, is, okay, what can I do so I'm not coming off as a creeper or a lech? Like, I know. My wife wanted me to ask you this question, which is the fact that in all of the pictures of her, she's wearing like 4 or 6 inch heels. And my wife doesn't wear heels like that, even though she's only a couple of inches taller. And so the question was, how do you walk around in those all day? Don't they kill your feet? So that was a good icebreaker because, you know, my wife wanted me to ask you this.
I am safe.
Right. I am not creeping on you. And chatted with her just a little bit. And she is just, she's trying to work. Here's the thing. Is she was coming over to take a look at some of the antique reloading equipment that used to come with Smith & Wesson revolvers. And here is this guy trying not to go, talking to her, and she was just so gracious. And she's really done a lot for the firearms collector industry because, you know, it's not a bunch of crusty, ugly, overweight old men. It's also people who look like her. You know, it's the whole gamut. So then right before I left, I'm like, would it be okay if I got a picture with you? And she's like, oh, absolutely. You know, because she's still kind of, I don't know why I'm famous, but apparently I'm famous.
Oh, I know that feeling far too well.
I thought you'd understand that. So her professional photographer who was following her around took my phone and took some pictures of us standing there. And, gentlemen, did not put my arm around her, just leaned my shoulder against hers, minimal touching, thanked her for her work, walked away, and probably giggled like a schoolgirl on the way back to the booth because, yeah, fangirl moment. Just total fangirl moment. I did some other stuff, too, walking around. I bumped into somebody else, but I'm blanking on the name. But anyway, just wandering around when I could. Oh, for those who have never been to the Indiana Convention Center, it is massive. There are cities that could fit in this place.
I always joke that, I think I said that to Aaron when we first first drove into the K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center is, oh, clearly we're at the Convention Center for the interannual meeting because it looks like a set piece for a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, but this place, and it's partially divided. So there's like two halves mm-hmm. in this one. And I was partway through the show, I think because of the lights and the dry air and all the people starting to get a headache. And the one thing that I didn't bring with me but left in the in the house we were staying was my painkillers. It's like, okay, I know there's an aid station. So I asked for directions to the aid station. Oh, go out to the hallway, take a left. Yeah, I did that. There was a different hallway, not the one that I went down. So I get to the intersection, find the right hallway, get to the aid station, do all that. And then I have to get back to the booth and I walk back into the convention center through a different door and none of this looks familiar. But there are number signs, like street signs hanging from the ceiling, you know, in the hundreds, you know, 2,500, 2,600 and so forth. So I'm like, okay, I'll just follow the signs. I walk over to the grouping where my booth is and still none of this looks familiar. I'm on the other side of the convention center. I'm glad I wore these shoes. Because I was told by several people who had been to these before, oh, you're going to the NRA annual meeting? Bring good shoes and lots of water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I wore my good shoes and I had my group buy two flats of water. I think I went through one of them today. But it was just absolutely... Oh, I saw Taryn from Taryn Tactical.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he was at the Brownells booth answering questions, and then when Weird was at the Asphalia booth, I'm like, oh, there he is! Weird, run! He didn't run.
It was him.
Yes. And I saw some other folks. There's a woman on Facebook, the Gun Girl, I think, blonde woman, whose name I cannot remember.
Kate Bennett?
No. Oh. No, not her. Would have been cool to see her, too.
Okay. Give me something to work with here.
She's the one who came out with like the brass bib idea.
Oh,
yes,
yeah, her.
I'm pretty sure I saw her talking to someone, but I couldn't remember her name. So looking at her name tag and considering where the name tags hang, you don't want to stare intently at a woman's name tag for any length of time.
And she is well endowed
and armed. I'm assuming
most likely.
So I didn't say anything because I wasn't sure. Again, didn't want to be a creep. But I also met...
Facepalm.
Something Levy from Brownells. The guy who really pushed their whole retro line.
Oh, yeah.
He does the new from Brownells videos. Mm-hmm. Got to chat with him for a little bit. Really nice guy. And he's one of those... I don't know why people are coming up and thanking me like I'm a big deal.
Yeah, that Brownells retro line is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I had built a retro XM16E1 before Brownells did that. So a bunch of my parts are actual vintage parts that I managed to scrounge.
Yep.
The upper and lower were Nodak Spud. I found somebody who was willing to reproduce the second generation three-prong flash hider. And so I'm showing this to him. He's like, that's really nice. I'm like, he said it's really nice. Because he was really the driving force behind that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then just walking around. Of course, the funniest thing is before the show, the owner, Dell, said, oh, this is great. We're going to be right next to SIG. And then we get there and SIG has a 20-something foot high wall on two sides, one of which is the side that we're facing. So we're spending the show staring at the SIG wall.
You're staring at SIG's butt the entire time.
Yeah, something like that.
It's their snake.
Yeah, and yes, we're staring at SIG's front because it's the snake side.
Oh,
Thank you, folks. I'll be here all week.
Oh. These are the jokes.
Yes. But next to us is Knox Gun Safes. Really nice guys there. And the other side is Kershaw Knives. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big Kershaw fan. So there's been a lot of chatting back and forth. And so it's really cool. But you slackers got here so late. We were here Tuesday. Because we had to set up the booth on Wednesday. And we managed to get the entire booth put together, assembled. I mean, you know, this is boxes of aluminum extrudings that have to be attached in various complex ways. It's like a giant erector set.
Not he erection, said erector.
Set, erectors.
We are just skirting that PG line.
Yep.
And punchy.
Yeah. But we managed to get everything done on Wednesday. So Thursday, it was basically just, we're done. We're, you know, Dell and his wife had to go back because there was some issue with the data connection for our booth. And I'm like, no, I'm going to stay in the house. And yeah, they did an Airbnb like you guys. But our house is better because it came with a cat. And cats know their people. And this cat has kind of adopted me. Which is very sweet because I miss my kids.
Does the Airbnb have an agreement that you have to return the cat?
I'll have to check on that. I think it's just be nice to the cat, and what would be nicer than taking him home? But no, I wouldn't do that.
It's just like our Airbnb, there's a little bowl of candy over here, so I assume if I want to take one, I can. Then if their one has a cat, you could take a cat.
I don't think so. But I did, when I was talking with one of the fellows at Kershaw, he's actually one of their main designers mm-hmm. out of Oregon, and we're just, you know, just chatting about knives and about the concealed carry bags, because he's really, really interested in trying to get products that will appeal to women mm-hmm. because it's a lesser tapped market.
What?
I thought you were going to make a joke about tapped.
I don't need to. You're making them for me.
Just you're tired. I'm trying to save you some work.
Okay.
And so we're chatting, and I mentioned I'd stopped at the Faxon booth. Now, I'm hoping that everyone that listens to our podcast knows that Faxon makes some of the best rifle and pistol barrels available.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those crazy people who managed to get a hold of one of the No Step on Sneck lowers, which I want to now build into a 300 blackout so I can suppress it.
Nice.
Yes. So I stopped and I'm looking, and they're doing a show special, so I'm going to be buying a barrel tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was joking with this fellow that, yeah, now I got to pick up something for my wife to try to distract her from the barrel ember. He gave me a knife. He just reached into his bag and pulled out this really nice...
As David plays for time, trying to find the knife.
Yes, I thought I put it in my bag here. It might have gotten in the other bag. But it's one of the Ken Onion knives.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yes. And... Good grief, David. But anyway, it's got purple scales.
Ooh. Is purple a favorite color of hers?
It is one of her favorite colors. Now, he didn't know this.
Oh.
He just pulled out this knife, which I must have put in my other bag. But he just pulled out this knife and said, here, why don't you give her this?
Oh, well. He keeps looking. Yes. Yeah. To show the knife to the podcast.
Well, I was going to show it to you guys so you could say, oh, it's very nice. So here, pretend I'm showing you the knife.
It's, ooh. It's very nice.
Yeah, there we go. But he just gave it to me, mm-hmm. which I thought was really cool. And the thing is, I don't have to distract my wife with a present because I bought a barrel, because that's my money, not house money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rule we've lived with for 16 years.
We've got that. Yeah, we've got married people money, and we've got each other's money. So, mm-hmm.
yeah.
But I do like to send text messages when I come back from the gun store with a new gun I bought, with the caption, "Don't tell my wife."
And of course, you're sending that text to her wife.
Yes,
but the cars.
Yeah. Well, I had a Easter candy found.
Yeah, that's been in there a while.
Ooh. Easter candy from last Easter?
No.
Oh, it's Easter pudding. It's shaped like a Reese's peanut butter egg.
It was one once.
I had a productive day as well. I bumped into a bunch of people.
Oh, there
it is. Oh, that is very nice.
I have it around here.
Yeah.
And what's really cool about it is it's got a lock to mm-hmm. keep it from opening, such as inside a purse. So
should be an assistant.
You push the lock towards the bottom of the knife.
And then push the...
And then...
Oh, that's...
Yes.
That's actually, my wife actually has one of those in silver.
That is the... her I forget knife. Which Ken Onion knife it is.
I think it's the Leek.
Well, I mean...
I can't quite read that. I took off my glasses.
1660 PUR, is that relevant?
That's the model.
That's the patent number, yeah.
Oh.
1660 PUR is the model.
Okay.
But I believe it is the Leek.
I think it is the Leek.
Yeah, and it's just, as Aaron said, it is extremely smooth to open, a linear lock, but that little lock at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
so it doesn't pop open in your purse. And also, I almost forgot, because I've been exhausted, is...
We just got terrified because Oddball is pressing his nose against the window.
And Oddball is a terrifying-looking individual.
Oh, he's not. He's a big pussycat.
He looks like a grown-up Pugsley Adams.
Like I said.
All right, well, we have been joined by Oddball, who is terrifying. And we have also been joined by friend of the show, Owellowant.
Thanks for having me on.
And so, yeah. As the guests came in, David presented Aaron with a present, and it needed to be...
A belated birthday present that she can open right now.
With the purple knife.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, that's nice and sharp.
A very nice leak.
Yes. The Kershaw leak. The Kershaw guy gave that to me while we were chatting. He was like, thanks for taking so much time to discuss the product with me. Like, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, it looks like socks.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
I saw them and I had to get them for you.
Okay.
I won!
We're trying to keep this PG, so I'm a delicate mm-mm flower.
Fudging flower.
Yep.
So it says, I'm a delicate...
Fudge-ing
flower.
Very nice.
And it's got lovely little flowers on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like I said, I saw that, and they just said, Aaron would like me.
Oh, yes.
Okay, and since there are gifts, I will present my gifts. You guys can choose your colors.
Oh, my goodness.
Ceramic parrot knives?
Yes.
Wow.
Who gets to choose first?
For those that can't see, they are... very colorful knives that are strangely in the shape of a parrot
with engraved ceramic wings blades.
And ceramic blades.
I'm very curious. Where did you find these?
Amazon.
Well, actually, since I'm from this state, I will choose this color.
Okay. These are actually decent.
Wait, you got a decent one?
The blade's sharp.
It's ceramic. Of course it's sharp.
No, I've got dull ones.
Oh, wow, this thing is loose.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Whee! This is a disaster waiting to happen.
It's a very sharp disaster waiting to happen.
In your next episode, first aid skills.
Yeah.
Band-aids.
The bludgeoning part two.
I have asked Oddball to do a first aid skills.
So, Is there some sort of very vague kind of... Okay, it's held in place by friction.
Yes, it's a friction knife. There is no locking device.
In the spirit of the season, why is this knife different from all other knives?
Well done. Well, one, it is a ceramic blade instead of metal, so it should be good for cutting fruit and... such things.
And yourself.
Yes, it's a ceramic. Well, it's a knife, so of course, until a knife tastes your blood, it's not really your knife.
Two, I'm not sure there's actually any metal in it other than the keychain
interesting
loop. And also, yes, this is the... I'll go ahead and let you guys in on how much I paid for it, just so you can appreciate the fine craftsmanship.
How much he loves us?
$10 for four of them.
Yes, I'm looking at the caution notes on the back, and the fourth one is, don't, yeah. And I'm going to read this literally, don't use hand to test the sharpness blade.
Yes, hand to is one word, and don't use is one word.
Uh-huh.
But what about the one above that?
Don't cut hard food.
Just gonna let that go. Wow. These are special.
That is one word for them.
And I'm talking short bus. Thank you for this bizarre and terrifying gift.
So, Weird, I believe you were next to share your thoughts and impressions of the show.
Yeah, saw a bunch of people. Of course, we'll be, again, looking to see. I think we'll probably save that for next week's show on exactly how this show salts out in the political side of it. Ooh. But saw a lot of cool people. We hung out with Tony Simon and sniffed Paul Carlson's beard.
Yes,
those are some of the weirder pictures.
I'm trying to make beard sniffing NRA 2019 the thing, but so far it's not taking off.
I've been telling people about this, and everybody else is saying the exact same thing. Is that totally needs to be a thing?
Although, look, we got really close to Chuck Norris today.
We did.
And you had every opportunity to run up and sniff his beard, and you didn't.
Well, except when you say had every opportunity, you mean I had precisely no opportunities because... So every year when, of course, I mean, I guess we could say Chuck Norris is taking the place of Arlie Ermey.
No one can take the place.
That's true.
He has been hired... in the same capacity.
Yes. And so
I would agree with that phrase.
With Glock. And so normally, that was always my thing. Every year, when Gunny would be signing autographs at the Glock booth, I would always go and walk around the outside of the Glock booth, outside of the line, and you can walk right up to Gunny. I mean, you can't get next to him because he's going to be talking to whoever waited in line.
Right.
But you can do that. You can eavesdrop a little bit. I loved listening to him talk to small children.
Yes.
So sweet with kids. And yeah, so I wanted to do that, except for the whole... Number one, the line was way longer than I'd ever seen for Gunny. And then right next to it, there was a million and one people going, "Oh my gosh, it's Chuck Norris." And people are handing letters in class?
Yeah, that's,
You just read this, Aaron, so while I read it...
Oh, No. We cannot drop this on our listeners. This requires analysis. I need to read it at least two more times. But just, listeners, remember when I said that there were changes coming, that stuff was going to happen? Holy crap!
Yeah.
Okay, this has turned from a shake-up to a bloodletting and maybe a bloodbath.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I think things are going to be extremely interesting in the next couple days.
Yeah, starting with the members meeting tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Members meeting, not the board meeting. I'm sorry. Yeah. Whew. I don't want to be vague here, but there is like way too much to just casually drop in. This is the sort of thing that just dominates a conversation, and that's not this particular episode. But oh my god.
Holy
yes.
Profanity, Batman.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't curse pretty much, but
that deserves cursing.
Also,
yes.
Look at the source.
Yes. The name at the top.
No, not that one, but this one too.
All right, let's give our listeners a break because they've probably read it online by now if they're looking. If not, peek around a little bit.
So this is a letter purporting to be from Wayne LaPierre that unless he resigns as executive director of the NRA, damaging information, I think is the exact phrase that was used, will be released about him by
ACMAC.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, in this alleged letter, he was contacted by Oliver North directly about this threat by ACMAC to torpedo Wayne LaPierre.
And the source for this is, it's posted on Adam Crowd's Facebook page via a link from the Wall Street Journal.
Oh,
okay.
That I didn't see.
Now,
I saw the initial source. I did
sense,
not see the Wall
time
Street
is fuzzy.
Journal.
That's today, right?
Today is the 26th.
It's yesterday.
So okay,
it's yesterday.
So that was yesterday. North was just speaking today.
And didn't...
Yeah, see, there's all sorts of everyone's putting on the public face and everything's looking all right, and then the knives are coming out in the dark, and
we've turned from a civil rights organization to the Borgias.
I'm sanguine with that.
Both meanings. and bloody.
We might be sitting here getting ready for another Cincinnati revolt.
Those words have been bounced around.
I've been hearing that for a couple of months, actually, with some of the folks that I know.
A fairly higher-level staffer we talked to, we floated that past him, and he's like, all options are on the table.
Oh! Yeah. Oh my god, that may be the same staffer I talked to. All sorts of terrifyingly vague but broad statements like, yeah, you know, everything is being considered. Nothing is off the table. Yeah.
Well, these are interesting times that we're living in. We're at ground zero.
Yes. I would actually... Well, one, it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. I'm hoping that the NRA that comes out of this is stronger, more responsive to the members, and more driven to actively defeat existing legislation, not just challenge proposed legislation.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they've been doing that all along, but they've been a little backwards and coming forwards on occasion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all I got to say is whenever you read, I mean, it's for the last like couple of years now, there's just been article after article of the Cincinnati Revolt. And let's just say that it's spoken about in very high reverence to supporters of the Second Amendment and spoken about with great disdain for enemies of the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I think you really need to release this as soon as possible because... Yeah. Word is going to happen either Monday night or Tuesday morning, and
Well, we've only got a few minutes left on the memory card, so.
Oh, really?
No, well, not exactly, but.
We're running out of time.
But yeah, but it's been.
We're running out of time. Some of the members of the board.
Yeah. So yeah, I met some cool people. I saw some cool revolvers. Nothing I have to say about what I saw on the floor of the NRA show really measures up to this.
You cannot run out of time. Time is infinite. You are finite. I am finite. This is wrong tool. Never ever use this. Very bad use this. Oh my god, you're a big fan of Babylon 5. That's a Zathros quote.
I knew it was Babylon 5.
I thought you were going to join in with me.
I couldn't remember who said it.
To our non-geek listeners, I apologize.
It's been a very, very long week.
Okay.
And I've been peopling all day.
Okay, weird. So yeah, you went some places, you saw some stuff, you talked to some people.
Yes.
That's basically it, huh? Way to phone it in.
No, I saw some stuff.
That's not even phoning in, that's texting.
I looked at lots of revolvers. I was actually super excited. I went to the Franklin Armory booth and saw their Providence.
Yes.
And which is, well, we talked about it in Handgun Raid. I think we talked about it on the show.
A little bit.
And
you hadn't seen it, so you didn't want to talk too much about it.
Yeah.
Now you've seen it, talk more about it.
Yeah. It is it's essentially a 9mm AR-15 style gun, except for it has no recoil system in it whatsoever. Essentially, it is a rotating bolt, but a fixed firing pin gun that when you pull the trigger is a long, what you would say a double action style trigger that withdraws the bolt back and then lets it slam forward and that will discharge the round.
So technically it's not an open bolt gun because the bolt stays locked until you pull the trigger.
When the bolt slams forward, it discharges the round and stays locked in the
right. That's what I said. It stays forward. Pulling the trigger unlocks and retracts the bolt.
It extracts the shell
and then releases it. So it's not an open bolt.
It essentially behaves exactly like a double action revolver. For fans of Handgun Radio, it actually behaves a lot like a Dartic pistol,
except without the proprietary ammunition feature.
Yes,
right.
But that will be great news for those in banned states because those haven't been banned yet.
Even Massachusetts, where the laws they said they're not sure about California
because California.
Even Massachusetts, with our extremely vague, extremely draconian assault weapons ban, it is kosher. For even Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Including the fact I was saying, oh, I wonder if you could do one with a fixed stock, because this has got a collapsible stock. And I, wait a second, no.
Why would you give up your collapsible stock?
Then I asked, okay, can you put a bayonet lug on it?
Grenade launcher.
And of course, me being the geek that I was,
grenade launcher sights at least.
I said, all right, I know, especially feeling it is a very long double action trigger pull. Not a bad one. I'm very curious to see how it would go with the actual firing, especially if you were to use, say, like steel cased ammo. Mm. Where you might have some sticky extraction. But the big thing was I said, you know, I think this would be really good in 10 millimeter. He goes, oh yeah, no, 10 millimeter's coming.
Nice.
And
nice.
I just went, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I stopped at the Taylor & Company booth on one of my meanderings. And they take the replica firearms from other companies. They don't manufacture them, as far as I know. They take other companies, assemble and fit them. And they had a Smith & Wesson number 3 44 Russian style.
Nice. Was it in 44 Russian?
My eyes were full of tears. I couldn't read. Mm-hmm. Because that was such an incredibly smooth action. I mean, those were great revolvers in their day. They were good triggers, etc. But this was nice. And I also stopped at Colt and looked at their King Cobra, and that thing locks up like a rock.
I was the old Cobra, the previous model Cobra that was in 38 Special. I was very underwhelmed with that gun.
Yeah, I thought it was meh.
The King Cobra really, really
they kicked it up
nice.
A notch. They turned it up to 11.
Yeah, this is kind of the return of the
snake guns.
Yeah. So
yeah. What I really want to know, or want to see, I should say, is a look at the internals. Because one of the things that made the Colt snake guns so good was that they were all practically hand-fitted, and they had V-springs, mm-hmm. as opposed to coil springs. And the V-spring is what gave them that smooth, continuous impulse trigger pull. Whereas, I love my Smith & Wessons, but with a double-action pull, as you pull that, it gets heavier.
Yep.
All the way back, mm-hmm. whereas with the Colt V-spring, the pressure remained pretty much the same all the way back. Mm-hmm. So you could have that very crisp, smooth, and not excessively heavy double-action pull.
When did this become an episode of Handgun Radio?
That's more, well, like, you know, more like revolver time.
I can talk about things that aren't handguns.
Yes, go ahead.
It might shock the listeners to learn that I bought some knives.
You too?
It's still my heart.
I'm shocked, I said.
And actually,
here's your knife, sir.
And actually, one of them was one that I really didn't ever expect to be able to buy, which is Mas Ayoub designed a knife for Spyderco back in the late 90s, I think. And it's been discontinued since 2002, 2004, somewhere around there. Moss found a box of them.
Ooh.
And was selling them for about $100 less than what they originally sold for.
Wow.
Wow.
Was he at the show today?
Yes.
He was at the
ACLD.
The ACLD.
I did not walk past that. I would have liked to have met him.
Well, I think we started on the other side of where you guys have been.
Yeah, I've only been on the other side once when I got lost.
Right.
And then got lost by being on.
But yeah, so I bought that, and I also got, actually, I guess.
Going to dig into his bag of goodies.
Yeah. Actually, that's an empty box.
And boxes and boxes of knives are piling up on the counter.
That's not an exaggeration.
This is from the empty box.
Okay, so two Spydercos, a Buck and Bear Cold Steel, and a SOG.
Yep. The SOG, technically I did not buy the SOG.
You didn't steal it, did you?
No, I did not steal it. No, that is the...
Well, it's still sealed.
Well, you got it for a steal.
It's the gift you get for giving knife rights... $100.
Oh, man, I only gave him 60.
Well, maybe you'll win something.
Could be. Well, the funny thing is, when I went over to Knife Rights and started talking, the guy that I was talking to was from Long Island.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he was, yeah.
Long Island.
That is the proper pronunciation, yes.
But yeah, this is the Mas Ayoub knife. It even has his name on the side of it.
I like the look of the sock knife. I don't care for the feel of the scales. A little too aggressive.
The sock knife?
Yeah. Okay. Just a little too abrasive feeling. I do like the buck and bear.
The buck and bear claw is a crombit with the wave feature on the back of it, so it deploys as you pull it out of the knife. Or pull it out of the knife. Pull it out of your pocket. I bought a Psychic Spider Co. from the Spider Co. booth, which I think is the first time they've been here.
I was going to pass out.
But the smock that has an interesting... The thing, the new... all the cool kids are in the knife world are going after, which is what's called a front flipper that kind of opens up. If you imagine flicking a Bic lighter, that's pretty much the action on this knife. And yeah, the cold steel.
Welcome to the 80s. They want their knife back.
Not in the tradition of cold steel and their jackassery knives. Not only do they have a bally song, it is a plastic bally song with a plastic blade.
And it's pretty sharp.
A sharp one.
A sharp one, yeah.
How do you close this one?
It's just friction.
It's just friction. It's just friction.
It was for me, unless I didn't open it all the way. I didn't see any locking mechanism. Although I do like the...
just friction.
The release on this... What is the name of this Spyderco?
Smock.
The Spyderco Smock. It's a push-button release.
Yeah, it's their compression lock, but instead of having to go into the frame like you do... compression lock is basically the same as a liner lock, except up by the spine.
I like that.
But this one has, instead of having to press on the liner itself... there's a button that you press and hold down, which really makes it a lot more friendly put away.
And the Mas Ayub has a traditional buck style lock release, which is just vintage. That's nice.
Yeah.
So the question we're all dying to know is...
This would be a gravity knife in New York.
Yes, it would be.
How much trouble will you be in with your wife for coming home with all these knives?
Well, my wife made the foolish statement that the only thing she told me as we left was that I wasn't allowed to come home with any new guns.
Oh,
you gotta be real frickin' precise when you're talking to Oddball before a show that has stuff.
And she knows that I'm gonna come home with some new knives. She just trusts me to not go completely overboard.
What's completely overboard look like?
I'll tell you when I get there.
Now, is it just guns, or does that include gun parts?
She did not say anything about parts.
Because have you taken a look at some of the special offerings at the Faxon booth? Some of their barrels?
I don't think so.
You should swing by the Faxon booth. They've got some show specials.
I would like it stated for the record for Oddball's wife that I have not been pressuring him to get either guns or knives this whole convention.
Lies!
I am fully in favor of him getting suppressors.
Why does my mind suddenly go to, Dad made us eat chocolate cake for breakfast?
No, and we have a mutual friend who I help him find a new knife at every NRA con we've been to. And...
You said you broke a record in finding him on this show.
Yes, the first knife booth we hit was a winner. Whose booth was it? The Buck and Bear. He bought a Karambit as well. Nice.
Just out of curiosity, what did that run for you?
The Buck and Bear was only $75. And of course, he returned to the favor by... He was the one that... shared with me that Moss had the Moss Ayub Spider Co's. But I also helped him find another knife. So, to make up for the fact that neither of us were there last year. So.
Right. Well, if you swing by the Asphalia Designs booth...
Ah!
If you swing by the Asphalia Designs booth, I'll take a break and you can lead me into temptation.
Now, which was this one called?
The Itura, I think. It's the other Spyderco front flipper, which both of them are brand new this year.
Those are really cool. What do those run?
Oh, so the linear lock on this one is deactivated through the spine.
Yeah.
Yes.
So your finger is not in the blade path.
Yes, and that is that is the standard design for compression locks.
But wow, that thing's on ball bearings.
Actually, I think it literally is. That's brass. That's a brass washer.
There's like no friction opening that blade.
Another run and show specials.
And this weekend, that one is running 125. The one I got was 170.
Yes, we already talked a little bit about the one that the Kershaw guy gave me for my wife. And for a purse knife, which would how she would carry it,
mm-hmm.
it's got the little sliding lock to keep the blade from opening unintentionally, which is such a nice touch. And this thing opens.
And it is. It's actually spring assisted.
Yes.
We're talking about the Kershaw Leak for those listening at home.
Yep. Who didn't hear that earlier or forgot.
Right.
Yeah. This, by the way, totally illegal in New York City.
Thank you, sir. It's
a spring assist.
Yep.
Which is right out.
Well, it's not a gravity knife.
I'm pretty sure it's a spring assist,
so it counts as a switchblade.
Mm.
All right.
I'm not sure about New York State outside of New York City, because most of the knife laws in New York State outside of the urban areas are pretty much ignored.
Mm-hmm.
Although, interesting tidbit, folks, switchblades are illegal in New York State unless you are hunting with a New York State hunting license. Then a switchblade is perfectly legal.
That's interesting.
Because, you know, if a deer tries to mug you and, you know, they're a jet and you're not.
When you're a jet, you're a jet all the way from your first cigarette to your last living day.
Okay, moving right along.
Well, I think we are just about out of time and we have plenty of material now for these people. And I'll be getting this out as soon as I get home. So thank you. Oddball.
You're very welcome. Just wish I was here earlier.
David.
Squee.
And you didn't say much, but Owellowit is still here. And he's laughing.
But he did his disclaimer to Oddball's wife. So that was the most important thing to say.
And I am Weirdbeard, of course. And, of course, the biggest deal in the house is Aaron Paulette.
Yeah, when this airs, I want you to go back to the commentary Weird Night had after the last NRA show. I told you so. And if anything, I was far too charitable then.
Yeah.
I'll have to review that because I listened to it, but I don't remember it.
All right. Well, thank you all. And good night.
Good night.